Hello, everyone. I wanted to welcome you to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Since we're all stuck at home anyway, I wanted to remind you that there will be two episodes every week until we're no longer all stuck together, virtually anyway. And I'll be adding more and more live type of situations and really cool type of things. Also, I'm working on a giveaway for Patreon supporters, so if you want to get in on that, head over to patreon.com/WalnutGrovecast. Other than that, just check us out on Facebook. You know, just give us a search and say hi every once in a while. Post your favorite episode, a silly picture. We appreciate it, and we look forward to a quick end of this, but at the same time, it does give me an opportunity to catch up with a lot of backlog. So enjoy the episode. Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you're living in 1863, Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you're living in 1863, it was a common place to meet his family. I was homeless till I saw his name. Hello, this is Mark, and you are listening to Walnut Grovecast. I always stumble here. Wow. Tonight here, and it's daytime there. I have a very special guest. She's returning to the show. It's Ryoka. How are you, Ryoka?
Hi, I'm fine.
Or is it Ryoka?
It's good to be back.
Ryoka.
It's Ryoka.
Yes. Okay. You're over in Japan.
Yeah,
still?
I'm in Tokyo, yes.
And you attend school there, right?
Yeah, I'm going to university right now.
Oh. And hopefully all is going well with that.
Yes.
I think it's about 10 a.m. where you are, and here yes. It's about 8 p.m. So,
yeah.
Big difference, but I'm always amazed when I speak to somebody who might be on the other side of the earth, and it's like, it's as clear as a bell. You know, it's better than a telephone.
Yeah.
So.
the internet is amazing.
Yeah. Sometimes it does genuinely stun me. So
yeah. Today
we're going to choose an episode that it's a little bit more controversial, I think. It's one of these. I don't remember this getting played a lot when it was in reruns when I was a kid. But
yeah.
This one it's called Dark Sage. It first aired on October 26th, 1981. And it's about Caleb de Ledois, the French doctor.
Yes.
Is this an episode that you really liked? What do you think of this episode?
I think it's quite controversial, like you said. Mm-hmm. But I think when I once spoke about racism on my Instagram account and how it's like there's actually quite a lot of racism in the Little House fan community in like just one little bit, but I think there's a bit of a problem like with that, like you're not Christian so you can't like Little House, that kind of thing. And I thought it would be nice to bring like a subject like that on this podcast.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, I'm Jewish, so I have received a couple emails. People saying, maybe you shouldn't mention that so much. And it's like, I'm not hiding anything. what are you kidding me?
And like Michael Landon was Jewish.
Yes.
What are you talking about?
Right. And so many, actually, the more we look into it, the more we realize that a lot of people involved with the entire production were Jewish, and are Jewish, and that's fine. You know, it's I think it's great that we have a mixture of everyone, but I have to say, I don't recall there being any Asian people in Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, I don't think there was many Asian references, and maybe it was because, like, for example, Japan was like kind of not really involved with America at the time in the late 1800s.
Well, the Asians built the railroad, you know, like that was, and we'll get to it, but they do refer to the Asians in a very non-PC manner. And I actually wanted to ask you about that, and I wanted your opinion as to, because, you know, there's American non-PC, and then there's other countries, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when we get up to that, I wanted your opinion as to, you know, what that means to you and sure. how insensitive it is. It's kind of, and, you know, I think that, to be honest with you, was written accidentally insensitive. I think that this is the way people probably were talking in the 70s, or rather 1981. Yeah.
And I think, like, a lot of racism isn't, like, intentional. I mean, there is intentional racism, But, like, asking if, like, where are you from when you're actually, like, from America, but you look Asian, it's not really intentional, right? It's, like, it's not supposed to be bad, but it can be taken as racism in some, like, circumstances. So yeah, I think,
you know, it's a hard thing to ask somebody, isn't it?
Yeah, it's actually, in this day and age, it's really hard to ask someone where they're from.
I mean, I'm the type of person where I'll just come out and ask. Like, I don't think I have the type of personality that would be taken as offensive if I just said, so where are you from anyway? You know, like, you know, that type of thing. Because... yeah. But I don't really find myself asking questions like that because I don't care, really, to be honest with you. Not that I don't care. It's just, it's not really something that that matters so much to me.
Yeah.
I'll usually ask it if it relates to a religion. You know. But that's only to find out, you know, hey, you know, do you have a tree in your house on Christmas? Okay, well, Merry Christmas, you know, instead of saying Happy Hanukkah. Yeah. But yeah, people are very strange in the Little House in the Prairie community.
Yeah, some people are. I'm not saying some people are really nice and some people can be really rude.
Yeah, some people are, some people just seem to live in their own little houses.
Yeah. And they're kind of trapped in their own little world.
Yeah, they're stuck in their little tiny bubbles, and that's fine too, I guess. I'm just going to jump right into the episode. I'm going to play. There's a new doctor in town. Who knew, right?
Yeah.
It's very exciting, and where do you find out where most of the information in town is? You find it at Olson's Mercantile.
Yeah.
So hold on. This actually, my level might not be great. So. Hopefully I don't, this isn't too loud. Is that too loud? It was just a wagon going by. Is it possible you could lower your volume just because the level, I was wondering why the level was so low and I just looked at something and it wasn't up enough.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to go into the dialogue. That was a wagon going by, so that was pretty loud. What do you think this is? Like, it sounds a little bit like something strange is going on.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't seem to be too serious, Harriet. You stay off that foot for a couple of days and you'll be just fine.
A couple of days?
Thanks for coming over, Doc. I know how busy you are. You know, it has been busy lately.
Thanks for coming over, Doc. Like, you're like 14 feet away. Like, I don't really understand.
Every day I keep hoping the new doctor will show up. I really need the help.
New doctor? I didn't know you hired a new doctor.
Well, yes, in a manner of speaking. Dr. Ledoux. He and his wife are coming here from New Orleans.
New Orleans? My! Oh.
Well, I'm off to Ms. Rucker. You know that woman who keep one doctor busy all by herself?
Ledoux? That's French. They're French, aren't they?
I don't know. I guess so. Stay off that foot.
Ledoux? Yes. Ledoux. It'd be so nice to have someone to parlez-vous français with.
And Nels just rolls the eyes. Like, it's kind of hilarious.
Yeah, I don't know. Why is Mrs. Olsen always so obsessed with French?
Because like I think it's the dignified language. It's you're right, though. Everything is about being so, you know, upper crust.
Yeah.
And so the doctor comes in. He sure is coming from New Orleans. And New Orleans has a big Creole community, which is... See, it's weird. Like, I would go, well, where do the Creoles come from? It's like just like what we were talking about. But I'm not really 100% sure where the Creole people come from. Do you happen to know?
Mm. No, like, I'm really not, like, I don't know much about American history. Like,
yeah, there's a bunch of stuff in here. I was kind of curious if you, if it was on your radar, kind of like New Orleans in general. You probably know, you know, it's kind of, you know, like, there was a big storm there probably 15 years ago. And there's also, you know, it's like a party town type of thing. Yeah. And it's known for its, you know, the
like,
parades.
I think people in Japan know that place for, like, it's like jazz.
Yeah.
Like stuff
like that.
Place of jazz. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what it's famous for in Japan.
I don't know if jazz came from there. I would say... like Dixieland music. I'm not 100% sure about that. You're probably right, and I'm 100% wrong, probably. But all right. So, Dr. I keep forgetting his name. Ledoux. Dr. Ledoux shows up. Rather, a stranger shows up at the doctor's door. It's pouring rain, and a couple are standing there.
Yes, are you Dr. Hiram Baker?
Yes,
I'm Caleb Ledoux. Dr. Caleb Ledoux, I believe you're expecting me. It's nice to meet you. Come in.
Ah, thank you.
Dr. Baker, this is my wife, Maddie.
Maddie?
Doctor?
Well, you must be soaked to the skin. Why don't you take off those wet coats and sit down?
Thank you.
How about a cup of coffee?
Well, that would be fine. Thanks a lot.
So immediately we see that... Doc is just being a little bit paused when he's dealing with them. You know, clearly they don't see very many brown skin people. And it's just one of these things where it's just weird that they wouldn't see more people. But in the past, we've had a couple of African-American people who have been on the show and they get brought up in a little bit, but I'll play. This is a little bit of a long scene, but I'm going to let it play a little bit. I think it covers a lot. He's pouring tea, or rather coffee.
This ought to wind you both up.
Thank you. Thank you.
I assume you found my credentials in order.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, indeed.
I'm just looking for the part that says you're black. You know, it's he's looking at it kind of like, what did I miss here? You know?
You're very qualified.
Thank you.
Almost too qualified. Why did you want to come out here? Country doctor doesn't make much money.
Well, your letter explained the financial situation, but it also said that you were looking for a graduating doctor who's willing to work. Dr. Baker, I grew up in a rural area outside New Orleans, and I'm well aware of the problems facing poor country folk and the doctor. And I'm here to help. Just what is this bothering you, Doctor?
Your age. Normally, a graduating doctor is younger, ready to take on the world.
So it's just interesting. It's kind of like really beating around the bush with when Caleb, it's Caleb Ledoux. He's clearly, you know, it's not the first time he's heard this, I'm assuming. Yeah. And kind of showing
he knows what's going on.
Yeah, he's no fool.
Is that all? Well, I admit it took me longer than most to get through school. But I had plenty of energy, believe me.
You know, it made me think, you know, remember when Laura became a teacher and took like 45 minutes?
Yeah.
I bet taking, you know, a doctor would take, you know, just maybe a year and a half or something.
Yeah.
But I think it took him 17 years to become a doctor. And of course, that had probably a lot to do with finding a school that would accept him, finding the money and the time to actually pass. I don't know if he's based on, I don't know what the reality of having an African-American doctor was in the 19th century, but I'm going to have to assume they existed.
Yeah. I think in the books, in the Little House on the Prairie book, like when they, in the Fever and AU episodes, like there was a black doctor, wasn't there. So I think, yeah, there might have been quite a few looking after the Native Americans or Indians, as they called them.
Now, Don Marshall, who played Caleb, he's been in so many different other shows. Like he did the gamut of 1970s shows of like The Bionic Woman, Buck Rogers, The Incredible Hulk, all before Little House on the Prairie, and even Bewitched. I mean, Land of the Giants. He did so many things. He had a reoccurring role on Land of the Giants. More than just a reoccurring role, I believe he was part of the cast. So, you know, this is somebody who he also looks really familiar. So I'm wondering if sometimes I'll see somebody on Little House and then I'll watch a rerun of something and they'll pop up and it turns into, where do I know this guy from? It's usually Little House on the Prairie. So Caleb, I think, is about to call him out for what's going on.
I'm ready to take on the world if you give me the chance.
Well, as I said in my letter, your salary will have to come from the patients you treat. I'm afraid that's the best I can do.
That's fair enough. Dr. Baker, I'm well aware of the problem. I mean, a black doctor in a predominantly white community.
You don't even need the word predominantly.
Well, all I want is a chance to prove myself.
So he hires him, and Doc doing the right thing, I guess. And, I mean, I would imagine anyone's going to have a bit of a problem in a community as tightly knit as Walnut Grove.
Mm-hmm.
So right away, we go right over to the Olsons. We have Harriet in bed, still resting her ankle. And it's a terrible storm out there, by the way.
Yeah.
Bonjour. Bienvenue. À nos petits villages de la Walnut Grove.
Did you say something, dear?
Oui. Bonjour. Bienvenue à nos petits villages de la Walnut Grove.
You want to start with that French nonsense again?
It's not nonsense. Heaven's sakes, Dr. Ledoux and his wife will be very pleased that someone in this town can at least converse with them in their native tongue.
We don't even know if they're French.
Oh, Nels. Ledoux, New Orleans. Of course they're French. I'm going to have them over for supper as soon as they get here.
Well, that's a good idea. You can impress them with your French toast.
Very funny. Where are you going?
Downstairs where it's quiet. I want to read.
Nels, I want to talk.
I know that, dear. I've known that for 23 years. Au revoir.
He hates her. It's I looked up French toast. I'm going to fully assume you know what French toast is. But it did actually come from New Orleans, which is kind of strange.
Yeah. I thought it came from France, so apparently it doesn't.
I think it's like French fries or something. You know, yeah. Everything
they're not
came,
French.
Yeah, it's like even if it did originally come from there, the United States has taken steak and said, "We did it. We did it first."
What is the French fries thing? Like, I wouldn't call it French fries. I call them chips. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, French. There's French fries, but then there's pommes frites, which I think is French. Have you ever had pommes frites?
No.
So they're like chips, but they're like double fried or something. And you usually traditionally put different toppings. Like we would normally put ketchup on it because we're savages. And it's like if you can add sugar to something, you know, we'll put it on it. So, but they put things like a dill sauce or mayonnaise or it's like weird. If you look up pommes frites, there used to be this great place in Manhattan where I used to work, a little tiny, tiny place, and it would be like a line down the street, which is called pommes frites. But just it's one of those things that it's like a fried Oreo. It'll pop up eventually, and you'll probably see it somewhere.
Okay.
So it's the original French toast were called pain perdu, and they were just basically a type of custard that you dip the bread in, and you would make French toast. Kind of interesting, I think. But it really wasn't that popular at this time, so I'm not really sure. I don't know if that was it was accurate enough to just call it French toast.
Did he just say, "I'm going to press you like French toast" or something?
Let's see.
Is that supposed to be an insult?
Wait, let's see. Let's see what he said exactly.
There's where it's quiet. I want to read.
Nails, I want to talk.
I know.
Oh, wait, it's before that.
Impress them with your French toast.
Oh, impress them.
Okay.
Not press them. I'm going to hold you down to the fire. So, all right. So we have Harriet doing all of this stuff. There seems to be, he hasn't been in town for more than, the couple haven't even been in town and already people are talking about it. So here's a little bit of a mail call back at the Mercantile.
And everything in its place. Good morning, Harriet.
Hi, good morning.
Nails?
Morning.
I brought your mail over. Give it to Nails. Doc Baker said I wasn't to do anything strenuous.
All right. Here you are, Nails.
Thank you.
And I thought you might like to know the new doctor has arrived.
Arrived? When?
Last night. He and his wife are staying in one room over Doc Baker's office, and you wouldn't guess.
Why didn't someone tell me? I've got to get right over there and welcome them officially.
Harriet, your ankle.
Oh, I can't let a little injury stand in the way of doing my civic duty. Oh. Harriet?
What?
I didn't get a chance to tell you all about them.
But what is there to tell? I know all about them. They're from New Orleans, and they're French. Oh!
They're French?
So, very, very strange. This is so strange. So, obviously, the number one news would be that they're black. So,
yeah.
She should have led with that one. But, you know, it does seem kind of strange to me that they wouldn't. He would travel all this way for a job and not.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess, how would you really bring that up? Say, oh, by the way. Just to avoid any, I guess, issues.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Harriet comes to meet the new doctor. And here we go. Harriet has turned up to like full blast Harriet, I think, in this episode, right?
Yeah.
Like, whoa! You know, it's like, calm down. It's kind of like, you know, in the morning, if you're if you have a really cheery person in the morning.
Yeah.
Well, you just woke up, so yeah, that's me. No, I'm not that cheery. So here we go.
Harriet, what are you doing here? Well, you shouldn't be walking on that ankle yet. Now you go on home, and I'll check by this afternoon.
Oh, well, there's no need, Dr. Baker. Maybe your new associate could take care of it.
You mean Dr. Ledoux?
Oh, yes.
Well, he's right in there.
Dr. Ledoux. Yes, that's right.
I thought this was a little bit strange. because the doctor knows what she's up to, and she knows how she's going to react.
Yeah.
I don't really find it too cute that she's going to basically judge him immediately by the color of his skin. Right? I mean, for them to play the cutesy music, I just think it's slightly inappropriate.
Yeah.
But anyway, here
we go. I guess he just can't go, oh, by the way, he's black. Like,
yeah, I was I guess I would have expected more of a, when she learned that Percival was Jewish.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like that type of moment. But, you know.
Bonjour, Dr. Ledoux. I'm Harriet Olson from Olson's Mercantile. Dr. Baker said that you could take a look at my sore ankle.
Of course. Have a seat on the examining table. I'll be right with you.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
His back is to her.
Oh.
Good morning, Mrs. Olson. I'm Dr. Ledoux.
Good morning.
Now, what seems to be wrong with your ankle?
My ankle? Oh, no. not my ankle. My uncle. It's my uncle. He had a very upset stomach this morning. I'm sure it was just a guess.
Oh, my God. It was terrible. That,
like the worst pun in the world.
Right. My uncle. Right. So, of course, the Reverend comes on in to meet the new doctor. And the Reverend's fine, I guess. But we see, I think, more and more the doctor has on his face kind of a bit of a worriness. And here we go.
And we have our annual picnic social in the spring. It's a very special outing for the congregation.
That sounds very nice.
Well, Dr. Baker.
Reverend Alden.
I have just met your new associate and his wife, and I'm happy to report that they are looking forward to becoming part of our congregation. You know, it might be a nice idea if you were to introduce them yourself to the congregation on Sunday.
I'd be happy to.
That's wonderful. I'm very pleased that you decided to make Walnut Grove your home.
Thank you, Reverend.
Doc Baker.
What was that? Doc Baker. So... Now, I wonder if there could have been a scene where Doc takes all of his, like, morphine and everything and locks it up because Caleb, he's leaving. He doesn't trust him. I'm just kidding, of course. So so we have we have strangers in the world of Little House. We have Jenny and her husband. Yes. And Jenny is pregnant. Actually, it opened the episode with Doc watching, checking on the pregnant woman.
Yeah.
These are people who you might expect to immediately die. Not immediate to die in this episode because we've never seen them before, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they seem to be, maybe this is their first child. And I'll let Doc fill it in.
I'm worried about Jenny, Nathan.
Doc, seems to me like you're making a big deal out of nothing. Women folk been having babies for centuries. Seems like a natural occurrence.
Women folk have been dying in childbirth for centuries too, Nathan. I don't want Jenny to be one of those, neither do you.
Now, do you think Nathan was making Jenny make all the food that he's eating and set the table?
Maybe he was. Jeez. I mean, it seems to be like the thing he would do.
But, he didn't come off as such a jerk in the beginning.
Yeah.
He just kind of becomes more of a jerk, and it's... Did you catch that? Or I don't know if maybe I just glared over it.
Yeah, I think he did. He became, like, worse throughout the episode.
Yeah, I mean, of course, we're setting up a fall when he meets Caleb. But, it's kind of like showing your true colors. But it's just weird. Like, I'm going to play the rest of the scene. He seems just so hostile towards the doc.
Yeah.
Of course I don't.
I'm sending to Minneapolis for some special medicine. Now, meanwhile, I want you to do everything you can to make sure Jenny takes it easy. It's important, Nathan.
All right. All right, Doc.
Doc put his hand on his shoulder. It was just a weird move.
Yeah.
Don't touch me.
Like he's not taking anything seriously at this point, is he?
Right, to pass the salt.
Yeah.
And it takes a while before he does take anything seriously.
Yeah.
So Caleb is kind of sitting around not doing too much. But so he complains to the doc, and the doc sends him to look after one of the patients because Doc has a phone and it's just ringing off the hook. Everybody in Hero Township seems to have a phone and everybody's calling Doc. Everybody's sick, which is bizarre. So
yeah.
He keeps making excuses for not sending Caleb on these house calls, but finally he does. So here's Caleb coming back from his first house call.
Caleb, you sent me out to take care of a horse?
Yes.
I didn't study all those years to become a doctor to take care of horses and cows.
Well, you told me you knew what being a country doctor was all about. Now, obviously, you don't. You see, we country doctors, we take care of as many horses and cows and pigs and sheep as people sometimes. Now, if you're too proud to tend to livestock when they need it, well, you just tell me. You can go back to the city. Minneapolis has a lot of fine hospitals that would just love to have someone with your splendid qualifications.
This is where things got a little dark, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like he's throwing, like, basically saying, well, what choice do you have?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I thought that was kind of strange for Doc to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I jumped to the wrong conclusion.
How's Samir?
Fine. I guess when a man gets used to being treated a certain way, he comes to look for it.
We're starting to just see a lot of different breakdowns. But we also have seen, I think, anyway, I don't recall an episode, but we've seen Doc go and help animals, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like he's lying. I guess it could be reinterpreted a number of different ways. Like, for instance, he could say, well, he's insulted. Like, well, I do it. Why can't you do it?
Like, I think it's both of them are being like kind of like, Dr. Baker is just trying to make an excuse, but he's trying to he's trying to convince himself that he's not making an excuse, like, I do it, so why can't you?
Right.
But at the same time, he's just worried about what people might think if he sent his assistant to them. Right. So I think he's just trying to kind of convince himself into thinking that he's doing the right thing.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's as though he could have sent him on the other thing.
Yeah.
And clearly there's a reason why he's not having Caleb visit the Jenny. I don't remember the last name, but Jenny and her husband. So, but it's Sunday. But it's Sunday and church is here and we put on our Sunday best and we all go. Now, I looked up the wife. What was her name? I have it here. Maddie. Yeah. So Maddie Ledoux. So Maddie Ledoux is played by Marlene Warfield. And she did a lot of stuff. She did, she was in a lot of blaxploitation films, actually. But she was also in all the major things like Cagney and Lacey and Maude. And I'm looking at a list. She did like newer stuff like throughout the 90s, like ER, and she was even on West Wing. she's still around, and she just seems to have done a lot of different things. I think it's kind of interesting. This character is very not in line with the kind of characters she would normally be playing, which I think is kind of interesting. But I thought she was great in it.
Yeah.
You know, I do think that Caleb and his wife remind me of an African-American version of the Ingalls, in a way.
Yeah.
Like, they both seem so nice, you know?
Yeah, they do.
And it's, we haven't even seen Charles yet, right? It's kind of interesting. So here we go. We're going to church. Get ready.
A woman can't live with a man as long as I've lived with you and not know when he's wrestling with something.
It's Doc Baker. He's been acting awful strange lately. It's almost like he doesn't want us here.
No, that's just your imagination. We are going over to the church, and he is going to introduce us to the congregation, and you will see that he is tickled pink to have us here.
All right.
And another thing.
What's that?
You look very distinguished, Dr. Ledoux.
Well, Madame Ledoux, I believe it's time that we go down and add a little color to this town, huh?
Jeez, get a room. So do you want to talk about what happens in the church?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, can we listen to the...
Sure. All right, so this is actually in the church.
Before our closing hymn, I would like to introduce some new neighbors in Walnut Grove. I'd hope Dr. Baker could be here to do this, but as usual, he's out caring for one of our neighbors, so... His workload should be eased considerably now, however, since we have a second man of medicine in our town. Let's give a great big Walnut Grove welcome to Dr. and Mrs. Caleb Ledoux. Caleb, would you stand, please? Thank you.
Why are they clapping? It's weird.
Yeah.
You made it. Good job. It's very strange. So, the Doc basically bailed out, and you know, you could probably say, yeah, maybe he is busy, right? But he's not busy. He's chickening out. We see him looking out. You know what's kind of weird is he's right across the street, right? His wagon is still there. It's not like he went and parked the wagon 2 miles away and walked. And he's peeking out the window like anybody could see him. Why even peeking out the window? Oh my God. He could have just said he was sick. No, that would be worse. But, I thought that was kind of telling. Yeah, that was kind of strange. And Caleb clearly starts questioning Doc about all of this because it's just it's insulting. It's just completely insulting and unprofessional. Even for Doc to do that. So, So they move on. I mean, Caleb, it's going to take a lot for Caleb to give up, which is really great. So they're in the office and a package comes. So
medicine for Mrs. Sherman.
Why don't you take it up there? Save him a trip.
Maybe I don't want to save him a trip.
You're convicting that man without giving him a fair trial, Caleb.
Caleb. What was that? That was kind of strange.
All right, woman, I'll take the medicine out there.
All right, woman. It's like it's a different time.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's like, have you ever heard anybody refer to their wives as okay woman? it's not exactly a term of endearment.
Caleb.
What?
A doctor just isn't a doctor without his black bag.
Yeah, maybe one of these days I'll have a reason to open it.
That man. I mean, he's just not having the best experience here. And it's about to get a little bit worse, I guess. He goes to the Sherman farm. That's their last name. And knocks on the door, and he is greeted.
What do you want?
That's a nice way to enter the door. What do you want?
This is a Sherman farm.
Yeah. What of it?
I have some medicine for Miss Sherman.
You can deliver it to her around back.
So, yeah, it's just one of those things where it's just awful. Like, you just feel bad for this guy. It's like, he's just trying to be a doctor. Yeah. Not like he's trying to, he's trying to help people.
Yeah.
And he even startles Mrs. Sherman. It's like, it's just, it sounds kind of funny anyway.
Mrs. Sherman?
Yes?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to startle you.
Oh, that's all right.
Sorry, I'm just out here doing woman's work, even though I'm supposed to be taking it easy. Poor woman. So, all right, so he visits the Sherman farm. And, I'm forgetting his name. Mr. Sherman comes over to talk a little bit.
Is there something I can do for you?
He brought you some medicine from Doc Baker.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You working with Dr. Baker?
Well, we work together. I'm Dr. Ledoux.
Will you thank Dr. Baker for me, will you?
Yes, I will. Oh, Mr. Sherman, you could drop that line a little. Your wife shouldn't be reaching or lifting that high, and I'm hurting a dish.
I don't need the likes of you to tell me how to care for my wife.
By the way, do you think all Americans are like this? Because I think the world does think most Americans are like this.
No, I don't really think, like, I don't really have that many stereotypes of Americans, actually.
All right, good, good.
Like, yeah.
Although I do know people who are like this. There's no doubt about it. And it's, jerks, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of this kind of egomaniac, self-centered, macho, you know. It's just one of those things that it does.
He's going I know how to care for my wife. It's like, no you don't.
Right, right.
You it's obviously,
like,
don't.
Right, you're inside and she's outside hanging laundry. What a good guy,
Nathan. The man did us a favor bringing out the medicine.
Well, this colored's got no business giving me advice.
Nathan, he's a doctor.
I know he is. Tell me something. I hear tell it took you 17 years to become a doctor. If you're so smart, how come it took you so long?
Well, I wanted to be twice as good, so it took me twice as long.
It really gets under my skin.
What? Like, This is what I think most people think Americans are like.
Yeah.
This is kind of crazy, but they have words here, and we see Caleb kind of blow up a little bit, which maybe it was warranted.
When I think of how many good men like my brother died fighting a war just so the likes of you could go to school.
Nathan, please.
I'm just saying what folks in town are thinking.
Mr. Sherman, I'm very well aware of how many good men died in that war. 646,392 good men, to be exact. Good day, Mr. Sherman.
So this is supposed to be 1881, so I mean, we're talking only, if you really put it into the big scheme of things, you know, only 15 years or so, like 15 to 20.
Are they talking about the Civil War?
Yes, yes.
Okay, yeah.
Think so. I hope so.
Yeah.
And
but, like, it's really weird that he would say, like, you know, you brought them over, you know, white people brought them over, so obviously, I mean, take care of them at least.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I find it really weird.
Yeah,
like, yeah, they weren't. They weren't, like, they didn't come over by themselves.
The whole history of how the slaves were brought here is very it's very controversial, and it's very and that's another thing that would be kind of interesting to know what you learned or what was taught. And because I know even what I learned when I was in school, like, isn't fully accurate, you know, and it's just a lot of really, you know, craziness. Like, for instance, I'm in New York, and a lot of people think, oh, well, that's the North, right? But there were slaves here, you know, there, you know, it's, you know, the slavery was, you know, throughout a lot of areas that you just really wouldn't expect it to be.
Yeah. So
it's a very, very sad and horrible period of like a mar on our history. And yeah, and it's really not that long ago. So it's that's why it's such a touchy topic. But this is only 15 years or so after.
Yeah.
So it's really, really touchy. But for him to become a doctor, you know, in that period of time is really not bad. Yeah. Good for you, Caleb. You feisty guy. So, all right, what are we up to? It's about time that we see an Ingalls, right? Because I think it would be, just wouldn't be Little House without, without that head of hair on Pa's head. And we get to see Cassandra, which is always great.
Yeah.
How are you? I'm Charles Ingalls. We met briefly at church the other day.
Oh, yes, I remember. And who do we have here?
Yeah, this is my daughter Cassandra, and she had a little run-in with third base.
My, my. I hope you were safe.
I was.
Good. Then it was worth it, huh? Come on, I'll fix you up.
Will it hurt?
You want the truth?
Yes, sir.
No, it won't hurt a bit.
At least he has good bedside manner. So we talk a little bit with Caleb, you know, Charles does, and we get this one weird moment. So I'm going to play this, and I want to see what you think of this.
No, I'm sorry. Dr. Baker's not in.
Phone never stops ringing, does it?
Nope.
Been pretty busy, have you?
Thank you.
As a matter of fact, this is my first patient. Let's clean this wound, okay? Human patient, that is. Well, it takes time. Folks get set in their ways. I remember Doc Baker's been here for 20 years. Yeah, I know.
That's another thing. He's been there for 20 years.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Where's he putting all his money? What does he spend his money on? That's what I want to know. It's kind of questionable.
Can you hold this for me, sweetheart?
Okay.
Old habits are hard to break. So are old prejudices.
Yeah. It's where he turns to Charles, like you white people, you know, and it's like, what?
I suppose. Yeah. That didn't hurt, and I did it, huh?
Nope, not a bit.
Good. All right, now I want you to keep this wrap on. It'll keep the dirt out, okay?
Thank you, doctor.
You're welcome, sir. I appreciate it. How much owe you, doc? Oh, there's no charge. Anybody could clean that scratch. Well, that's very kind of you. Hope I can return the favor. Well, you can. If somebody in your family gets anything more serious than a scratch, you can let me treat them. Well, let's hope that never happens.
So it's such a weird... right? It's so weird. It's such an awkward, like, well, yeah, hopefully somebody breaks their leg. What do you want me to say? That's right. I guess he was intentionally put out there to be kind of jarring, like, what's this guy talking about?
Yeah, and I think the doctor is, like, everyone's being a jerk to him, right, up to now.
Yeah.
And so he's just kind of quite, like, weary of, like, all the white people in Walnut Grove, and he's just saying, like, I know what's going on here.
Right. Like, he does apologize, though. Because it was kind of a cheap shot.
Yeah. Like, he's basically going, like, I know what's going on. You don't have to sugarcoat it or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just call me when you need me. Like, right. I'm a doctor.
But in Charles Ingalls' fashion, he has to make everyone love him. So here's him leaving the office.
Well, doctor, I was just wondering, are you and your missus free for supper on Friday?
Well, I don't know.
Just offhand, I'd say our social calendar isn't entirely booked, Caleb.
We'd really enjoy the company. Especially my older son. He's got his heart set on being a doctor.
Well, we'd enjoy it very much.
Well, good. How about 7 o'clock?
That'd be fine. Thank you.
All right. We'll see you then.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sweetheart. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
That was very nice.
Yeah.
He runs into Doc when he's walking out, and Doc is saying, like, well, do you want me to... look at it, you know, I guess proofread Caleb's work. I just thought that was a little bit much.
Yeah.
So we have a confrontation here, which I think was long overdue, where Caleb is going to basically confront Doc for once. Well, not for once, really. But. My times are slightly off, sorry.
Were you on Sunday?
What?
I meant you weren't at church.
Well, I gave Reverend Alden my apologies. I had a call to make.
Oh, to whom?
Ms. Rucker again. I swear the slightest complaint to that woman is a catastrophe.
You weren't at Mrs. Rucker's. She lives 4 miles out. And your buggy is at the livery. It's an awful long walk, Doctor.
Busted.
Why didn't you want to introduce me in church?
It's not that, Caleb. You have to understand something. I'm not familiar with your work yet, and I can't recommend you until I am. These people trust me.
But you yourself said that I was overqualified.
I know, but...
But I'm black, isn't it?
That has nothing to do with it.
By the way, I just want to say, he has a point. Like, Doc has a point if he wanted to just stick to it. And saying, I don't know your work yet. You know, these people trust me, and I have a reputation. So if I just send you out and you kill somebody, you know, it's kind of, it's on me. That should be an acceptable excuse. I'm not saying it's right. It's just...
I think Caleb is like, he's been through a lot of things like this. Like,
he's damaged a bit.
Yeah. And he's kind of like, he's aware of how people might treat him. And he's trying to confront that before it happens. Mm-hmm. Like, it is happening a bit, but like, he doesn't want it to get too bad. And he just wants everyone to admit that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I think that's why he's trying to keep bringing it up.
Yeah. I mean, well, and like he should too, because,
yeah,
you know, these excuses kind of suck. There's no reason for it.
And I think it's unfair of you to bring your race into this discussion.
I don't see how I can leave it out.
You don't?
No, I don't.
I have practiced medicine in this town for over 20 years. I have treated Orientals, Indians, and Negroes.
Well, hold on. Did you say Orientals? How do you treat an Oriental? Now, you're Asian, right?
Yeah.
If this is what I understand. If something is described as oriental, it's a physical item, like a lamp.
Yeah.
Or a rug or something. Now, we talked about this a little bit before. And have you ever run into anything like, you know, that would be perceived as, and this is a very personal question, please don't feel like you have to answer it, but have you ever had any run-ins because of the fact that you're Asian?
Not really, but I have been, like, I used to live in London, so someone thought I was Chinese and said, like, ni hao.
Oh,
it's
wow.
It's like, I'm not Chinese. But I think that's not really that bad, like, as people make out, because if I saw a white person, I wouldn't know which country they were from.
Right.
And I think a lot of Japanese people would go hello, like, to a white person, even if they were French.
Yeah,
like, it's hard to, like, know what... Like, I know the difference between a Japanese person and a Chinese person and a Korean person.
Sure.
But I really can't tell, like, if they're, like, German or French or English or whatever. So I think white people wouldn't be able to recognize, like, if I was Chinese or Japanese. And so I think my advice would be just don't go around saying hello to strangers. Like, whatever country you're in and whatever country you're from, just don't go like hello or ni hao or konnichiwa or whatever. Just don't say that.
You could say
might offend them.
Stick to just hi.
Yeah.
Or wherever you happen to be, say hi in whatever native language.
Yeah,
I agree. It's I never really thought about, you know, the different white people. I mean, you know, it's weird because stereotypes are sometimes, I think, important. Like,
yeah.
if somebody has red hair, you think, well, they're probably Irish or, you know, or something like that. But, you know, it's one of these things where, you know, it can get very nasty, of course.
Yeah.
I'm a dark skinned, I'm half Italian, but I'm Jewish Italian, which is it's a weird mix, and Israeli. So when I say I'm dark skinned, I'm not like a black, I'm not as dark as Caleb or something, but I'm olive skinned, like an Italian.
Uh-huh.
And like, I've had friends visit, here from Norway, and they said, you know, if you came to Norway, you'd, you know, people would call you, you know, the N word, because like at that time there were like nobody with even black hair.
Yeah.
And it's just weird, you know, to me, because it's, you know, and then my Jewishness kind of gets into it because I went through a very long period of time where I wore, a yarmulke, and you know, that can be very unpopular, but that's an accessory you could take off and put in your back pocket also.
Yeah.
You know,
but
yeah, when if you're an Asian woman, you're an Asian woman, or if you're, you know, a black person, you're a black person.
Like, so I think some people like take offense really easily. Like, I know a Japanese person who, like, someone asked her, like, if do you like eat sushi a lot? And she just got really offended. Like, Japanese people don't eat sushi all the time. Like, so, and I wouldn't, and
they even don't? Though, no, I'm kidding.
But like, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't really be offended by that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's important. You know, I have no issue knowing the physical differences between, like you were saying, a Chinese person, a Japanese person, or a Korean person. But that is also because where I grew up, there's everybody there. It's a melting pot. So, but I remember I worked with this one woman. And I met her boyfriend. She's Japanese and he's Korean. And we were kind of talking about this because I think we would just kind of joke around about things like, you know, what's the most un-PC thing to say? Like, if you walk into the room and it's like, you know, hey, look at these Orientals, you know, that type of thing. And, you know, it's just weird. And he just said, and it's such a stereotype, because you can always tell they're Korean because they have huge heads, you know, and you have to kind of roll with it as a joke. You know, it's when it gets mean and when it gets, or you don't go up and say something like that to somebody who's like maybe 70, you know, or if you don't know them, you know, or you don't just blatantly just blurt out something. Stereotypes to me are very, important and funny. And
yeah,
I roll with them all having to do with me, and I spit them out constantly at other people.
Yeah.
So I think that people have to have a little bit of a thicker skin. We live in a very sensitive time.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go on.
Yeah. Like, I watch a lot of comedy, and, you know, there are
Like what kind of comedy?
Like quite a lot of British, like, dark comedy. Like, for example, I love Ricky Gervais.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, and I think, like, you know that they're joking, right? You know that they're not trying to make a point. Or they're being sarcastic or whatever. But they're not saying that's the truth, like, even if they say something, like, totally un-PC.
But I think the only people that can really do that are comics.
Yeah. Like, if, for example, like, a politician said what like Ricky Gervais says, like, I think that would be taken seriously, and that shouldn't be done. But, like, if you're a comedian, right, like, you know, they're joking. They're, like, their whole job is to joke around.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's okay, even if there's a racist term. But when it gets serious, it's, like, really mean. So I think there's a really clear, like, division between those two.
There's
like,
a
joking right. and seriousness.
There's a time and a place.
Yeah.
And, yeah, racism is just, it's one of these things that even in, well, even in your life, probably, you've seen such a change. You said, did you say you lived in London?
Yeah.
I mean, London is completely different than it was even 5 years ago.
Yeah. Like, I lived in London 10 years ago, mm-hmm. and I visited for the first time last year after I came back to Japan. And so I was, like, so surprised. Like, I remember London as having so many white people.
Mm.
Maybe it was because I lived in North London or whatever, but...
The last time I was in London, it was all white. And yeah. It was about 15 years ago. And yeah. I inherited... This is going to make me sound super fancy, but I inherited a flat that was from a relative. And okay. But I had no use for it, so I rented out. I rent it out. And it's like a crappy flat, so I don't know what to do with it. And... Then I got a certain price, and now it's like nothing but problems. It's like, yeah. it's terrible. Like I would, you know, I'm dealing, of course, with it from thousands of miles away. It would be easier if I just went there, but it's kind of not worth it. I would like to go there, but right now it's such a turbulent period of time just because yeah. of racism.
Yeah.
Just, you know, so even though we're learning, we're listening to a scenario from 1881 that really didn't specifically happen, we're still having these problems. And yeah. it's not just in the States, you know, I never thought London would be the way London is right now. London's pretty crazy place right now.
Yeah. And I think like, even in Japan, like there's a lot of Japan is mostly Japanese people. But sometimes there's, like, Chinese people and Korean people. And, like, so we know the difference between Japanese people and Chinese people, basically. So, and there is quite a lot of racism, especially if you look up on the internet. Like, Japanese people tend to be very polite. That's a very good stereotype, I think.
That's the best. I love it when you base this stereotype. Like, aren't they all polite?
I think we don't really go around shouting insults at other people,
right.
even if we think that. We tend to keep it secret. But like on Twitter,
they're very intelligent people. It's like all of them.
Like when they go on Twitter, they go like a lot of people turn into jerks. Like so, there's a lot of racism towards Korean people and Chinese people on Twitter, and I hate that because.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of hatred. That's why. Yeah. That's why when my friend was dating this Korean guy, it's like, are you serious about this?
Yeah.
It's like, you know.
Yeah, I think so. If you look on the internet, there's a lot of hate, even from Japanese people. Like it's not just white people who's doing that.
Then you throw Vietnam in the mix, and it gets really confusing. I have a friend who met a Vietnamese girl here. And, like, they just fell in love, like, immediately, right? But she had to go home. Like, it's just one of the – she has responsibilities there and a job. So he went with her, right? I mean, this is, like, a guy in his late 40s. Well, he, you know, he produces music. So he was able to just grab his laptop and do it through the internet. Mm-hmm. So he lived over there for 8 months, got married to her.
Yeah.
And now they're coming back. But it's just weird because I don't even know why that story really doesn't have anything to do with this. But it's, well, partially because he was telling me about a lot of things that kind of would happen to him because he's just a white Jewish guy in the middle of Vietnam.
Uh-huh.
And nobody takes him seriously. Everybody's trying to rip him off. And, you know, it's just one of these things. But Vietnam is a very different culture. I mean, you know. I don't know if you've ever been to Vietnam, but Vietnam is a very, very different culture than Japan.
Yeah, but I think like we're trying to get more people in Japan because there's not enough babies. But like, I think people need to be more open towards foreigners because I think I think they don't realize that they're even being racist or whatever. Mm. But, and I just talks about how, like, there's intentional racism a lot. And Japanese people do that so, like, so much, a bit too much. Like, mm-hmm. like what we have, like, we tend to think that, like, white people are beautiful. I don't know where that comes from.
Me either.
But we like, I think it's mainly because we
the
have
Western,
like,
civilization type of thing. I think it's yeah. more along the lines of, you know, we have Hollywood, you know, we have the, yeah. the big stars, and it was something to maybe look at and look up to and kind yeah. of, you know.
And I think it's like some Japanese people get offended by, like, white people idolizing Asian women. So, and I think it might happen, like, when it's the other way around. Like, Japanese people idolizing, like, white people, they're amazing. Like, white people, like, this weird stereotype where they go, white people are amazing. So wow. I think that might, I don't know what it is. But I wow. think it, I think it genuinely comes from, like, the 60s or the 70s after the Second World War. Mm-hmm. And Japan was going, like, let's just catch up with America.
Right, when they were, like, kind of rebuilding. I mean, everything was just becoming really kind of formulaic. I mean, yeah. you know, yeah, exactly. 60s and 70s was such such an economic building block. And, yeah. you know, now Japan's almost scary with how much money that you guys have. You guys, you're not rich? I thought all Japanese people were rich. But yeah, I mean, I hate stereotypes, but I also love them. I think they're important.
I think that comes from that. Like, that just, like, it hasn't been much, like from the 60s and 70s, like, most people are still alive.
Now, do you have in Japan, will you have a Japanese and a Chinese person have a child?
Yeah, I think so.
But I'm saying, is this something that's common, or is it?
I wouldn't say it's that common, but
really,
yeah, it's really weird. I think, but
like here in the States, I mean, it's just it's totally common for a black and a white person to have a kid, or Spanish, maybe, and you know, it's so many different.
Like maybe when you're like when a Japanese person and Chinese person have a child. I don't think they look that different from a Japanese person when they're mixed.
Well, they have similar features, but I mean, it's, yeah. I'm just saying, I don't know if it's, is it frowned down upon?
Yeah, and I think a lot of Chinese people change their names when they actually come to Japan, like if they're going to live there. Mm. Quite a lot of people change their surnames, like to some... We basically use the same alphabet, like it's very similar. Mm. So it's easy to change your Chinese name into a Japanese name. Like there's this really famous baseball player that was originally from China, but his parents immigrated to Japan. So his name is kind of Japanese.
Now, is that to kind of hide their Chinese-ness?
I think it might be.
I mean, like David Rose, for instance. David Rose, who did the music for Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
I believe his last name is Rosenberg, to hide his Jewishness.
Yeah.
That's a big Michael thing.
Michael Landon also has, like, a really Jewish name, doesn't he?
Yeah, what is it? Holy cow.
I know it, but I
Mordecai
don't know how to pronounce it.
Let's see. Oh, yeah. All right. Eugene Maurice Horowitz.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, I wonder if that's his real name or if this is a Hebrew name. But because it's a Hebrew name, like my Hebrew name is Mordecai. And it's Eugene Maurice. I don't know. Call him a Gene. It could have been Gene Landon.
Yeah.
No, Michael Landon's very fitting.
Yeah, I think Melissa Sue Anderson or somebody wrote in their book that he was actually going for Michael London.
Really?
But yeah, but like I think it said the guy in front of him took that name, so he changed it to Landon or something.
Yeah, I was really surprised, though, about the David Rose thing. I'm looking up real quick to see if I could find his... I can't find it right now. But, oh, it is Rosenberg. You know how many Rosenbergs I know in this town? So so many. A lot in Japan, too. It's a very Japanese name.
Yeah.
Like Cindy Rosenberg. So, all right. So let's... So he's offended that he has... Oh, and we talked about this. I didn't bring this up. I believe that this wasn't written to be intentionally the wrong description of an Asian person.
Yeah.
I think it was just the way people were talking in 1981.
Yeah. I think, the term Oriental wasn't really that racist until quite recently.
This is just me, but I wouldn't say that it is racist. I just think when you call a group of people Oriental, you're using the word incorrectly. Yeah. And the word Oriental is not a racist word, is what I'm saying. It's just, it's kind of, you just sound like an idiot because you're describing something else, like a rug.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think Americans are so in our, so stuck in our ways that's why you'll still find people who'll say that. And it's always humorous, but at the same time, very cringy to hear that type of stuff.
Yeah.
So when he did say it, I was like, oh, geez, can't believe they didn't ban this episode. Mm-hmm. They ban everything. So, all right. So back to this. I'll play the rest of the scene. Here we go.
Without any thought to the color of their skin.
You know what? Let's hear him say it again.
I don't see how I can leave it out.
You don't?
No, I don't.
I have practiced medicine in this town for over 20 years. I have treated Orientals, Indians, and Negroes without any thought to the color of their skin.
And now that I think about it, you shouldn't describe any of those people.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of these things. You are not PC, Doc.
And I won't allow you to accuse me of prejudice.
I didn't accuse you of anything, Doctor. I just simply asked you a question.
He's really, he's hitting a lot of nerves in Walnut Grove.
Yeah.
So speaking of Walnut Grove, we're back in the little house, Plum Creek, and we're about to say a prayer. I think the prayer is kind of nice. I'm going to play.
Thank you for this bountiful feast you placed before us, and we thank you for our good health. We thank you, too, for bringing a new doctor to Walnut Grove. May you give him the strength to stay with us. Amen. Pass me your plate, huh?
Well, why did you say that about Dr. Ledoux?
It's going to be hard for him to... Get folks to let him treat him for a while, that's why.
Why, isn't he a good doctor?
He's a very good doctor, but he's also a Negro. A lot of folks aren't ready to accept that.
Well, why not? Joe Kagan was accepted. Why should Dr. Ledoux be any different?
Well, because Joe Kagan did what black folks are supposed to do. Farming, labor work. Caleb's a doctor. A lot of people think that's just white man's work.
That doesn't seem fair. I mean, he worked a long time to become a doctor.
And he's good, too. When he says it won't hurt, it doesn't.
Well, let's just pray he doesn't get discouraged waiting for folks to come around. Come on now. I worked hard making this supper. Let's eat it.
Let's. They look like they had real food, too. It was kind of interesting. Yeah. They had a real pie out there and stuff with lettuce. All right, so the next day, I didn't think about this. Where do they eat normally? So, of course, they eat at... I think it's Caroline's. I don't know if it's Nellie's or Caroline's at this moment.
Yeah.
And they are, the Ledoux's are having a little bit of a discussion at the table.
It was just trying to help.
Maddie, I told him I wouldn't take money. Not for work that I haven't done.
Caleb, I...
Maddie, I don't want to talk about it. Now, come on, let's have breakfast.
Enjoy yourself.
And we see Hester Sue, and we forgot about Hester Sue.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's African-American, and she lives in town. Wonderful.
Good morning.
Morning, Hester Sue. I'll have some ham and eggs.
All right. What about you, Maddie?
Which also kind of shows out, I guess, Walnut Grove is more of a progressive group of people. So I think maybe that's why, I don't know, it's a very surprising thing to have this kind of issue come up. But I guess,
yeah.
I guess the professionalism, I guess him being a doctor might really rub people really wrong.
It's the same.
Oh, and Mrs. Olson wanted me to ask you if you could be here at 11 o'clock for the noon meal?
Certainly.
Good.
What happens at 11 o'clock?
That's when I start my new job.
What new job?
He yells.
You mean you got a job working here?
Yes.
Doing what?
Doing what I do best. Cleaning rooms and washing windows.
Maddie, I made a promise that you wouldn't do that kind of work anymore. Now, what are you doing?
Caleb, I know what you promised, but we need some money.
Maddie, I didn't bring you here to be a washerwoman.
Caleb Ledoux, as for my cleaning rooms, well, you just convince these folks that you're the best doctor around and I'll stop.
So she's doing the right thing. I mean, she's doing what she has to do. And there's no shame in working at Caroline's or Nellie's. So we have dinner at the Ingles. Hopefully it's tasty. Hold on, let's. It's a very exciting meal that we're about to kind of eavesdrop on.
So he was genuinely pleased to find out that his freckles were only on the outside.
The innocence of children.
Yes.
I can't wait to go to college and study. Medicine is so much more interesting than Laura's history class.
Well, I'm sure your sister will be very happy to hear you say that. In the meantime, get yourself ready for bed. It's late. Parnell's, come on in.
Nathan Sherman called asking for Doc Baker. Apparently, Jenny has gone into labor. I told him that Doc was in sleepy eye. I don't know what time he's coming back. That's when he asked me to come and get Carolyn.
Which is like, what? There's a doctor. Yeah. Right? We'll get Caroline. She's a school teacher. She teaches sixth grade, you know, English. So let's go.
I'll get my shawl.
There's something wrong. Jenny's not supposed to deliver for another month. I better go with you. I'll let you in the wagon. Albert, you keep an eye on the children.
Oh, yes, Pa.
So they go there. And it's, you know, it's tense right away. And it's just a scary situation to be in.
Come in. How is she? Not good. What are you doing here?
It's like, what are you doing here? It's like,
maybe I could help.
I don't need your help. Carolyn will do just fine.
Jesus, is enough to make any woman not want to have a child. So where are we here? Basically, he's about to be super racist. So I'm just going to like let that play just a little bit.
Doctor, I just checked Jenny. She isn't doing well at all. You better come in.
No, he's not to touch her.
Nathan, he's willing to help. Jenny...
No nigger's gonna touch my wife.
Listen to me. Your hatred's gonna cost that baby's life, maybe even Jenny's.
My God, man, he's a doctor.
I said no!
So Pa gives him a left hook and knocks him out. And it's kind of like funny because Caleb is going to help, but it's, you know, he literally has to knock a guy out in order to get him to get out of the way so he could save the girl. I mean, save the wife. The whole thing is just insane. Doc shows up. Here we go. So I'll just, do you want to tell a little bit about the story? I'm sorry. I'm kind of stealing the entire thing.
So just I'll
do it if you want. It's up to you. So basically, Caleb goes in there, and it takes a little while, but finally delivers a baby girl. And everybody seems to be fine. Yeah. And the whole thing is just completely bonkers, and Doc shows up really late.
Yeah.
Doc, I think, sees that he was wrong the whole time.
Yeah.
And Caleb gets the one thing that you would think he would want, but I don't know.
She isn't to be moved. I don't want the incision to reopen.
Ugh. Doctor? I guess I should say thank you.
It's not saying thank you. It's kind of like when people go, you know, I should apologize, or they go, like, I apologize. Saying I apologize is not apologizing. Saying I'm sorry, that's an apology.
Don't you thank me, Mr. Sherman. You thank Charles Ingalls. If he hadn't been here, you would have surely let them die. Come on, Maddie, let's go home.
Want to ride, Doctor?
No, thanks, Charles. We'll walk.
That's a long walk. Maybe she doesn't want to walk. I don't know. Kind of presumptuous. But I can't blame him. You know, that's really just nasty.
Yeah.
Americans suck. So, I'm just kidding. All right, so we're back at the hotel, and I don't know. This is a little bit surprising. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but you just had a successful moment. You would think that this would win the adoration. You know, like people would just love him and accept him. But.
You were remarkable. I am so proud of you.
We're leaving here, Maddie.
What did you say?
I said we're leaving here.
Caleb, I don't understand. You did brilliantly. You saved Jenny's and her baby's life.
You don't understand. Maddie, you saw what happened. Charles had to fight the man in order for me to help save his wife. Look, Maddie, this town is not ready for change. We're just going to have to go where we're accepted.
Oh, Caleb.
Maddie, there's a coach that leaves here Sunday afternoon. I'll tell Doc Baker in the morning.
That's pretty sad, you know? It's, Well, I don't know if the next day was Sunday, but on Sunday we're in church again. If you look at Caleb's body language, he's just defeated. I don't know. I mean, I guess I can't blame him for being defeated. All he wants to do is help people, and they're just a bunch of schmucks.
Yeah, I think he's just given up.
Right.
Basically.
Not really on himself, but on the community.
The Lord said, love thy neighbor. But I think he meant also for us to help our neighbor. To care for him.
We see Almanzo and we see Laura. They don't have any roles whatsoever. But, you know, think about it. They had to get dressed up in their big outfits just for this tiny little background scene.
Yeah.
Crazy. Even Harriet with her huge, ridiculous hat. Hilarious.
During times of stress and need. To comfort him during the sorrows of death, to be a brother, a sister? For truly, we are the family of man. Now, before our final hymn, Dr. Baker is asked to say a few words to you. Doctor.
Now, this is a little bit long, but I think it's worth playing, and it's the end. So I think it's just kind of worth. Hopefully, that's okay.
Thank you, Reverend. Two weeks ago, a new doctor arrived in Walnut Grove. You're all aware of that. Dr.
Dr. Ledoux and his wife, Maddie, were introduced to you by Reverend Alden in this church. I was to make that introduction. But I didn't. I told Reverend Alden that I had a house call to make. That was not the truth. I also told Dr. Ledoux that I felt it was wrong to recommend him to you until I had had a chance to see his work. That, too, was untrue. I had no reason to doubt the ability of a man who'd studied 17 years of his life to become a doctor and a surgeon. No reason except one. Prejudice. It was very difficult for me to admit that to myself. You see, I'd always thought of myself as a good Christian, a decent, fair human being. But the truth of the matter was, I didn't believe that a black man could become a good doctor. A good man, yes, a good farmer, blacksmith. But a doctor? No. That territory belonged to the white man. So I avoided introducing him to you, and I didn't recommend that you see him. 2 nights ago, Dr. Ledoux saved the lives of Jenny Sherman and a newborn child. Took a doctor, a surgeon of his skill, to do that. I don't have that skill.
So Jenny... Whoops. Missed yesterday. My pause button, sorry. So Jenny would be dead because of Doc, because he doesn't have the skills. But he did recommend to have her brought to Minneapolis, was it? I don't know exactly. Because he, I guess maybe he didn't know, he knew he didn't have that skill, and this was a possibility. Kind of interesting. It would have been another dead person that Doc had.
Dr. Ledoux told me that he was leaving Walnut Grove to practice in a place that appreciated him. A reasonable decision. Understandable. That I feel responsible for. So I want to publicly apologize to Dr. Ledoux. To his wife, Maddie, and to all of you. For bringing it about. Caleb, I have no right to ask this of you, but this town needs you. Give us a chance to show you how much.
Well, Doctor, we all have some prejudice. Believe me, we do. But if this town needs me, I mean really needs me, I'll stay.
That's really great news. Unfortunately, we never see Caleb Ledoux again. we just gone, you know.
Yeah.
I think it would have made an interesting reoccurring character. So I'm kind of curious why we never saw Caleb come back. I mean, maybe in the episode differently, right? Like, I would love to stay, but I got this other job and blah, blah, blah. Going to a much more progressive community.
Yeah.
So, I just thought that was kind of strange.
Yeah.
Poor Caleb. But at the same time, I really think he's a great character, and I really would have loved to see an ongoing two-doctor type of situation. But I don't know. I guess I like Little House the way it is. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Any support is appreciated.